This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a musical by a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright with local ties, or a choral performance with a focus on the homeless, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and former Louisianan Tony Kushner is heading to New Orleans as his musical Caroline or Change is being staged for the first time in the metro area. The play, set in 1960s Louisiana, explores issues of race, identity, and history. The performances mark a new partnership between Loyola University and the Jefferson Performing Arts Society, led by Dennis Asaf. Loyola Theater Artistic Director Dr. Laura Hope is here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
This is an exciting venture between Loyola and the Jefferson Performing Arts Society. How did it come about?
It's been several years in the making. Dennis Asaf, as you know, is an alum of Loyola University. He went to the School of Music. He and I had been trying to do something together for a number of years. He'd asked me to direct a couple of times, and because of my schedule at Loyola, it had never worked out. And when I became chair of the theater department, I approached him and said, you know, Dennis, I'm wondering, we have this brand new musical theater degree. I'm wondering if we could co-produce a musical together. And he said, oh, that's a great idea. Do you have any ideas of what we could do? And I went, well, yes. How about Caroline or Change?
What was it that was attractive to you?
I think it's the Louisiana tie-in. The fact that it's set in Louisiana. The very first song in the play says, nothing ever happens underground in Louisiana. There is only underwater. And that refrain comes back over and over again.
Cause there ain't no underground in Louisiana. There is only underwater.
We know what that means. Other audiences in the country might kind of go, I don't, it's a nice metaphor, I don't quite get it. For us, it's not a metaphor. That's our life. That relationship with the water. It's been interesting to rehearse this during this hurricane season with all of this chaos and tragedy swirling around us with the hurricanes and with the flooding in our own city. So I think there's a way in which people in Louisiana inherently understand those parts of the show that I think Tony Kushner is writing just for us, because he understands it too.
And Tony Kushner, this is a reunion or homecoming for the Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright. Let's talk a little about him before we get into the musical. His arrival is much anticipated. Tell us a little about his storied career and how he wound up in Louisiana as a child.
My understanding is he had family here in Louisiana, and he was not born in Louisiana, but they moved here when he was a little boy. And they lived in Lake Charles, and I think he lived in Lake Charles through high school and then went off to college someplace else. So he really grew up in the Lake Charles area. It's funny, as I've been working on this show, I keep meeting people around town that say, oh, you know, my mother went to such and such with Tony Kushner when they were little kids. They went to camp. They were on speech and debate. It's really interesting how many people seem to have some sort of connection through Lake Charles to Tony Kushner and his family. I sort of love that. I think that there's something wonderful about Louisiana and that everybody does know everybody. It always feels like you're in a family or a small town, and this just sort of proves it. The musical is semi-autobiographical. He does take creative license, of course, but it is certainly inspired by his childhood growing up in Lake Charles.
What does the title of the musical refer to, Caroline or Change? Who is Caroline, and what is the change being sought?
Well, the musical is set in 1963, and the character of Noah is a 9-year-old boy who lives in Lake Charles. His family is Jewish, and they have an African-American maid whose name is Caroline. And Noah's mother has recently died. Caroline worked for his mother. Caroline and his mother were very cordial to one another. I think there are things about Caroline that remind Noah of his mother. And the change referred to means a number of things. As with Tony Kushner, there's never just one answer. His plays are remarkably deep, and the change quite literally refers to loose change and pocket change that become a real point of conflict in the play. But it also refers to the changes that are going on in society in the 60s. The play opens on the day that Kennedy was assassinated. Troops are already in Vietnam. In fact, Caroline's oldest son is in Vietnam. And, of course, the Civil Rights Movement is going on. 1963 is the year that Dr. King wrote Letter from Birmingham Jail. So there is this tremendous change going on in society. And Caroline is struggling with it. People around her, their attitudes are changing. Her best friend is going back to school. Her daughter is very intrigued by the Civil Rights Movement. And because of a number of factors in Caroline's life, she's finding it very hard to change.
And the issues being explored are?
Certainly race is explored, the Civil Rights Movement. It's not just a backdrop. It is very much an important part of the story because the two families that you see are both impacted. The Gelmans are Jewish Americans. The Thibodeaus are African Americans. And I think they look at the Civil Rights Movement and they look at class in this play in terms of people's access to the American dream. So we have this myth of America, this American dream, where everybody, if they just pull themselves up by their bootstraps, can achieve this, that, and the other. However, not everybody's on equal footing to achieve that. And everybody's experiences of why they can't quite get there is different, too. There's discussion of the Holocaust with the Jewish family and of anti-Semitism and their trajectory with that. And that's similar to, but not the same as, the issues that Caroline Thibodeau and her family are having with being able to achieve that sort of forward momentum in the American dream with the history of racism and slavery for African Americans in this country. It's really sort of a brilliant way to explore this really huge and complex issue through two families. It makes the entire issue very personal. You really see what it's like to deal with different sets of issues, but all moving towards a similar goal.
And who's performing in the lead role? Caroline.
Caroline is being played by Troy Bechet, and I can't tell you how ecstatic I am to say that. It's been wonderful to have this partnership with her. She's a fantastic actress, and she's also a terrific role model. So, you know, half the cast are our students from Loyola. It's such a wonderful opportunity for them to work with a very polished, very seasoned Equity actress, to really see her process, to learn from her sort of on-the-job training.
While powerful and challenging, this production is also quite entertaining. Tell us about the musical score.
It is a real triptych through American musical styles. You have Delta blues, gospel, Motown. You have Klezmer music that represents the Jewish immigrant experience. And then you also have some traditional Broadway-sounding numbers. That kind of musical storytelling is also telling a story about American history and all of the different cultures inside of America and the influence that they have all had in building who we are as a nation.
Will audiences find some of the issues explored are as relevant today as they were more than 50 years ago?
I think they'll find them more relevant.
How so?
I think in the past year, year and a half, we've really seen an explosion of tension around issues of civil rights, issues of American history, and who gets to tell the narrative and how they frame that narrative. And I think that the play is really savvy about how different groups have different perspectives on American history that don't always agree with maybe what we were raised with in the textbooks. And certainly, I think the subplot that's in the play about the monuments is emblematic of that. I think perhaps in 2003, 2004, that subplot might have washed over people and maybe not entirely registered. Or if it registered, it would have registered as a symptom of some of the larger issues in the play. But I think after Charlottesville and certainly after some of the things that have happened in our own city here in the past year, I think that that particular subplot is one that makes you lean in a little bit and really think about how that issue ties into some of the larger struggles that we're seeing in society.
You're talking about the removal of Confederate monuments.
Yes. You know, really, it's only mentioned in three scenes. It is very much a subplot about a Confederate monument and the fate of it in Lake Charles. I don't want to give away too much because that would really sort of wreck the discovery of the play. But I can say that I think those scenes mean something different now than they may have meant in 1963 or they may have meant in 2003, 2004 when the play first premiered.
What conversation are you hoping this production will spark?
The beauty of theater is that it is a place where you can go and sit in the dark and not feel indicted because you are watching someone else's story. But all theater asks you to do what an actor does, which is to put on someone else's shoes and walk around in them for a little while. and listen to a story and view the world from the perspective of the characters on stage. And I think that that's an environment that inherently elicits empathy and can make us question what we think we know and can make us question our assumptions and the status quo. And I think that's a good thing because I think there's not enough listening anymore. And I think there isn't enough real dialogue.
And playwright Tony Kushner is making a special appearance.
He will be here November 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Roussel Hall on the Loyola University New Orleans campus. He will be interviewed, sort of actor's studio style, by Mr. Jim O'Quinn, who is the founding editor of American Theater Magazine. This event is free and open to the public. Following the interview, there will be a question and answer session with Mr. Kushner about his career, about the musical Carolina Change. I'm very excited about that.
Loyola Theater Artistic Director, Dr. Laura Hope, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
JPAS and Loyola presents Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Tony Kushner's Caroline or Change, opening Friday at the JPAS West Wego Performing Arts Theater and running through November 5th. More info online at jpas.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Symphony Chorus of New Orleans is joining hands with the Ozanam Inn and Hotel Hope in a move to impact homelessness through art. Together they are presenting a unique concert. It's called Street Requiem, a 10-movement work to bring about a sense of peace and hope as communities struggle with poverty, mental illness, and violence. Symphony Chorus Artistic Director Stephen Edwards joins us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Diane. Happy to be here.
How did this work come to your attention?
I'm always looking for new things, and as I see what people are doing around the world, this caught my ear, and I decided to try to put together a program that dealt with the issue of homelessness.
And it did come from around the world. Australia.
Yes, it did. This is a piece that was written originally in 2014 by three composers, Kathleen McGuire, Andy Payne, and Jonathan Welch, and it was premiered in 2014 with just piano. In 2016, they did a revised version with a chamber orchestra, and that's the version that we're going to be doing on November 2nd.
Do you know how this piece was conceived?
Well, it was conceived by a group of people who were dealing with community choruses in Australia and had the idea of involving the homeless in the chorus. So the premiere actually involved a chorus of homeless people who had learned this.
Wow. And how does this work, composed halfway around the world, connect with our community?
Well, homelessness is a global phenomenon, and the issues of poverty and mental illness and violence are international. It's really a very similar problem in all of the cities of the world.
Take us on this journey. What will we experience?
The piece is called a requiem because it uses fragments of Latin from the Requiem Mass, but really most of it is in English. It just uses the occasional Latin phrase to get things started, and then it adds poetry in English that deal with the issues of homelessness. In some cases, these are hymns from a couple hundred years ago. In others, they're much more pointed contemporary language. I should mention, because of its Australian origin, the piece has a very interesting opening. It's quite common in Australia to begin with an acknowledgement of the indigenous people who were there before we got here. So we're actually beginning with an acknowledgement of the Chittimacha tribe who were here in New Orleans before the rest of us arrived. The piece then has a dedication that is sung in Persian, which is like a call to prayer. That's performed over a drone from a didgeridoo, Australian instrument, and we've got a Indian, not Native American, but actually Indian keyboard instrument that's used for drones in sacred music. So it's a sort of a multicultural mishmash of sounds. And the Street Requiem itself is also a multicultural mishmash of sounds, because in addition to some movements that sound a little bit like Carmina Burana or like the Rudder Requiem, there are some Celtic folk songs. There is a South African anthem of empowerment. So it's a variety of music, very exciting, very accessible.
And you are also adding other music to this piece?
In addition to this piece on the concert, yes. The Street Requiem is about 40 minutes long. We're also doing a piece called Hard Shoulder, which is an extraordinary work by Canadian composer Stephen Hatfield. It's a work that he wrote for a homeless shelter in Toronto back in 2002. It's very unusual in that it is told from the point of view of homeless. So the chorus has to create various characters, which is quite unusual for choral music. We very seldom get to be choral theater. And these are very vivid portraits of people on the street. In fact, the piece opens with somebody awakening from a drug overdose, essentially, and then alternates between meditative chorale-like sections that tend to have quotations from Jesus in the Bible with these very vernacular presentations of homeless folks. The poem at the end does something rather extraordinary as well. The chorale sections present the section, you know, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are they that mourn. And as that idea comes back, sometimes being expressed sarcastically by somebody on the street, sometimes in despair, sometimes in hope, at the very end of the piece, the poetry is changed from how blessed are they that mourn to how blessed are they who mourn. So after about 12 minutes of music, the composer, who also wrote the words, has changed the general term that into the very particular individual term who. We have a piece called Big Easy on My Mind, which is a sort of jazzy piece written by Melinda Bargreen, who is a music critic in Seattle. But she wrote this piece 9 days after Katrina, and it was kind of her personal response to New Orleans and Katrina 12 years ago now. We're also doing Moses Hogan's I Am His Child, Moses Hogan, New Orleans composer. And we're concluding with an arrangement I'm doing of Stephen Foster's Hard Times Come Again No More, which is arguably the first country music hit. It's been covered by everybody in the world since 1850 till now. And it's a beautiful piece of music and a beautiful poem.
So am I hearing right? There are actual testimonials?
As part of our collaboration with the Osnaman and Hotel Hope and a whole team of people who've been planning this for about 6 months, we are going to have some folks who have experienced homelessness and have come through it in a positive way who will be sharing their experiences with Osnaman and Hotel Hope and organizations like that.
And then there's a third leg to this. You're also helping students.
In several ways. My students at Delgado Community College, that chorus is joining us for the performance. But we also, as part of our arrangement with the Academy of the Sacred Heart, where we're presenting this at the NIMS Center, we've been working with their students. Steve Scafidi, who is the production director, is working with their digital media class, and the class is going to be our production crew. So we will have lights and sound and various projections, some original photography that has been done for this. At one point, we have collected the names of those who've died on the street in the last year in New Orleans, and they will be remembered through a video projection that's accompanied by the music. So this has been an all-encompassing thing. We've got lots of folks involved.
Why do you choose to present this work in New Orleans now?
Well, the issue of homelessness is something that we all encounter as we drive around. I mean, there are people that I see on the corner. Sometimes I see these same people 4 times a day as I drive through town. It's constantly in front of us, and I'm told that the issue is as bad as it has ever been in terms of the number of people who are on the street. Despite the heroic efforts of many in New Orleans to try to address issues with veterans, issues with various populations, there are a tremendous amount of services available to people. But because of the population that's being served, it's a challenge, combination of poverty, mental health, all sorts of things that impact why people are on the street. Increasingly, poverty is a big part of it.
And you're also making available information on homeless shelters?
Yes, a number of the organizations that are part of Unity will be there. We've got a number of groups that will have tables and information. And assuming we do well with the program, this will be a fundraiser that will benefit the Ozanaman and Hotel Hope and various of these organizations that serve the homeless.
And what is your hope for audiences as you raise awareness about the plight of the homeless right here in our own backyard?
I think my biggest hope is that this music will draw attention to the problem, but will also humanize the problem. The homeless end up being a constant but very generic part of our lives as we drive past them and do or do not see them. And I think this casts a light and might provide a bridge of empathy and a way to connect with the problem.
Symphony Chorus Artistic Director Stephen Edwards, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Save the date. The Symphony Chorus of New Orleans presents Street Requiem, Thursday, November 2nd, at the Academy of the Sacred Heart NIMS Performing Arts Center, 4301 St. Charles Avenue, 7:30 p.m. More info online at symphonychorus.org. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.